Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey here. Steve Jones there on his way to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Steve Jones could be king.
No, it's really, we're all just in the suits world. We're just all pawns in it.
That's how we roll.
I mean, that's just how it is. In fact, last night the suit's name came up at a speech I made.
Really?
Absolutely. Right. It wasn't nice, but I mean, it was still. I mean, it's, you know, as he's always said, any publicity is good publicity. I mean,
I've heard that before too. Yes.
Actually, several compliments about you, as a matter of fact.
Really? How much do I owe you?
This is actually from members of the audience, several compliments about you. And look, believe me, I told your parents you're doing fine. So, I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's, you know, it's... how you carry the show, and the, you know, I'm like, I said, look, Mom, Dad, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I mean, we're not moving on. When's your 1 year anniversary, by the way?
On this show, it was about, I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago.
About
2 or so weeks ago, we crossed the 1 year mark. I can't think of the exact day right off the top of my head.
Yeah, because your parents said it's been the longest year of your life. I was like, oh, really? Has it been that long? Like, okay. You know. All right. Well, if you guys say so. It's like, and I kind of loved when I was done talking with them. I didn't feel so great about my performance. No. Sports bozo of the day will be about, and I'll start with that, but then we'll eventually do it officially later. But it's about the Kentucky fans that that threatened John Higgins, the official. And that they went online, and I guess he ended up going to the authorities about this. And it was reported by Jeff Goodman and Dana O'Neill that he actually spent 2 hours with the authorities about the death threats that he received from the Kentucky game, the Kentucky-North Carolina game. I mean, that's going way too far. That's way over the line. I mean, that's way over. I mean, when an official has to sit down for 2 hours and talk about death threats, and John Higgins is an outstanding official. He's one of the best. Now, part of the problem with John is that John also at times carries with him an attitude. I mean, if you're really good, you don't have to have an attitude about it. I've tried to tell the suit that for years, and just it's like, well. And by the way, Melo Trimble's going to enter the draft, but he did the game the other day, and the game featured 37 fouls, and there were 19 called on Kentucky and 18 on North Carolina. But more than that is the number of free throws that were taken in the game. That's what people have looked at. How many free throws were taken in the game by Kentucky versus North Carolina? And North Carolina went to the free throw line 26 times, Kentucky 19. Now, part of that's late in the game. There are a couple fouls late in the game that, you know, to stop the clock. But he actually spent 2 hours with law enforcement to discuss receiving the death threats. And Higgins met with the authorities for more than 2 hours yesterday, according to Dana O'Neill and Jeff Goodman of ESPN. He also owns a company called Rooferees, and he received bad reviews on the company's Facebook page from Kentucky fans. Now, you're not done seeing John Higgins, I don't think, because I think I've mentioned this a few times, but people should realize advancement in the tournament happens by teams that win. Advancement in the tournament by officials is not done by drawing straws. It is being done by evaluation. Those who are considered to be the ones that are doing the best jobs are the ones that advance. I would not be surprised that John Higgins ends up being one of the 9 officials that they use this weekend in Glendale. So, look, he's a really good official. At times, he gets a little testy out there. I mean, that's just him, but he's really, really good. But to send death threats? All right. You want to know why Kentucky lost to North Carolina? Okay. If Fox and Monk had hit a couple of more shots, they win. Fox was dynamic against UCLA at 39. Monk was really good against UCLA. He had 21. Those two combined for 60 points. Both of them suffered through just one of those days where neither one of them could consistently hit shots. That's why they lost. Hey, they didn't lose because of a call or a lack of calls or whatever that John Higgins made in the game. It had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. What had to do with the outcome of the game happened to be the shots that Monk and Fox, among others, missed. Happens. Now, I've talked about this before, but I'll get into it again. I always view officials in three categories: A's, B's, and C's. C's being the weakest group. A's being the best group. Now, here's the oddity in all that. You know where I think the fewest number of officials happen to be? In the B group. There's more C's than any group. Second, in terms of the pool, are A's. B's are actually, to me, have the fewest number of officials in the pool. Those guys that are, you know, have some really good games, but can slide back, you know. There are fewer B's than A's or C's. There's a pretty decent pool of A's. Higgins would be one. Teddy Valentine would be one. Mike Eads would be one. I'll leave out some people along the way that I think are really good. In that A group, let's see. Usually Roger Ayers would be in an A group. A couple out of get it to see much out west that fall into that category. There was a guy years ago, Gerald Boudreau, was really good. Mark Whitehead's an A. I mean, no question, Mark Whitehead's a really good official. Mark Whitehead's an A. I mean, there's certain guys that fall into that category. And it doesn't mean the C guys are bad officials. but there's something about the A's that separates them. No matter what you do in a profession, and we'll keep this within the realm of sports for the moment, okay? So, but this falls into any profession you happen to be in. Something that's really important in whatever profession you happen to be in, and now in the area of sports, whether it's coaching, playing, announcing, officiating, business end of it, is the people that really succeed are the ones that have a really good feel for it. You have to have a really good feel for the game as an official. What makes a C official versus an A more often than not to me is the lack of feel for the game. Do you call fouls that have nothing to do with the play, thus nobody gained any advantage on the play? Unless it's something that's egregious and flagrant, obviously. But something that happens away from the play, whatever, and you call a foul, you're like, well, okay, well, why are you calling that? Right? It's nothing to do with the play. Okay? I understand that. You know, you can't be calling that stuff. And the other part that is, I think, the biggest mistake I see, yeah, one is the ability to make a judgment on a foul or a no call on something that happens that affects the play. That's one. And another part of not having a feel for the game is this going to the default call that you think that's what happened. So it had to be, and so you called it that way. And too often I will see guys that are in the C range fall back on the default call. It had to be an offensive foul. It had to be a charge. It had to be, like, no, it doesn't have to be. There had to be contact on that play. No, there was no contact in the play. They got all ball. It had to be. I saw him rake across. Well, yeah, what if he raked across and hit the ball? Did you see him hit him? Did you actually see him hit him on the arm? And if you didn't, you shouldn't be making the call. You can't make an assumption, and you can't make the default call. You can't. At least you're not supposed to. To me, you make calls that affect the play. And that's the biggest difference between a C and an A. A's have, for the most part, really good feel for the game, good judgment, only call what they actually do see on the play, do not usually revert back to the default call. Oh, well, it had to be. That's the call we always make on that play. C's have a tendency to fall back more on the default call and sometimes don't have the same. Usually A's have great position on plays, and sometimes C's don't. Sometimes C's don't. And that's the difference. Now, threatening an official, death threats, are you kidding me? Is your life that bad where you have to threaten the official? Really? Your life is that bad. Right? When the game's over, go back to your life. Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, passion is a major part of being a sports fan. I've got that. I love sports. Great passion for sports. But I can check it in at the door when I'm done. Except for that Red Sox game back in 80s. No, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with you. One of the when it comes to officials, fans get very, very wrapped up in officials. Very wrapped up. They always feel like their team is the one that's getting hammered in games. Kentucky fans, for example, are mad that in the first half, three of their starters ended up with two fouls each. Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, and Bam Adebayo. Well, you know, you don't have to sit them out with two fouls either, you know. Okay? You know, you can pick your spots and bring them back in. What's to say they're going to get a third? But that's what they're upset about. I've explained many times, we've had Bill Carollo and Rick Boyajis football, basketball from the Big Ten on the show. We've had him on the show. Now, what other show has ever had on, to your knowledge, the head of officiating in a conference? Why? Because I think it's important that they get out what they do so you have a better understanding of what they do. Today's technology, which is, for example, great for me to do my job. Today's technology is great for me to do my job. I can instantly call up video whenever I need it to watch a team, watch a player. I can instantly call up any stat packages I need at any point. Well, it's the same thing that goes with officiating. You don't have to wait for the evaluation on Monday from Bill Carollo or Rick Poyages if you're an official. They'll give it to you that night. They have the video. They have it right there. They have all the calls put together during the course of the game as to whether you hit or miss. There's some times where it takes a little while to get out of the locker room if you're an official because they're on the phone with the people in Chicago. Bill Carollo, right? You know, people talk about, oh, Penn State always gets hosed on calls, always get hosed on calls. Look, Penn State does not always get hosed on calls. That's just wrong. Have there been some big calls that have been huge misses? No question. The Ohio State game a couple of years ago with the interception and the replay failure on that, you know, the play clock running out on the field goal. Yes, that happens. The 2003 Ohio State game where the ball hit the ground, Derek Tolles knocked away, it bounced up, Hartsock then bounced right back to him, they called it a catch, but there was no replay back then. Right? That happens. I can tell you right now, Penn State and Purdue played a game where the ball skipped off the turf and Nick Suke picked it off. Then with the replay, Jack and I looked at the replay and said, okay, well, it's going to be an incomplete pass. We could both see it. Nope, they stuck with it. Well, that's one where Penn State got the benefit. Believe me, there are moments where Penn State gets the benefit. Bill Carollo, as an example, officiated in the NFL for a couple of decades. He did a couple of Super Bowls. He's a pro's pro with the NFL. He has no skin in the game when it comes to officiating in the conference. And you know what? And every time I've called up Bill or Rick about something, and usually when I call them, it's usually been once every 2-3 years. And I'm always looking for an interpretation. Hey, look, I need help on this. Let me know what that is. They call me back that day. They have no problem telling you what, you know, why or what. And they have no problem saying to me, you know what? He said, if it's me, I probably would have called that thing differently. I've had Bill say that direct quote to me. They evaluate, and not only that, they are very difficult graders. Why? They don't want the integrity of the game called into question. Are they going to be perfect with it? No. Are the officials on the field going to be perfect with it? No. Are the replay officials in the booth going to be perfect? No. But don't, you know, that part, when it comes to that, and look, when you do quarterback club and you do hoops club and you host it like I do, and you hear questions about officials and officiating, like we're always getting the short stick, it's not true. Can you specifically point out parts where it's like the officiating wasn't great, good, whatever? Yes, of course you can. But believe me, so can other teams too. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're brought to you by Sunbury Motors. It's 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And in honor of the upcoming French election, time now for This Day in D'Histoire. A little French lingo there. Very little. All right, this day in sports history. First Stanley Cup took place between two U.S.-based teams for the first time. The Bruins beat the New York Rangers to win the Stanley Cup. 1970, Tony Esposito recorded his 15th shutout, an NHL record for rookie goalies, and the most shutouts in the modern era. 1973, Bobby Clark of the Flyers became the first NHL player from the post-67 expansion team to score 100 points in a season. All right, now let's get to your wheelhouse. And get to that moment of excitement that makes your life tick, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1987, Hulk Hogan took 11 minutes and 43 seconds to pin Andre the Giant in front of 93,136 at WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome in Pontiac.
Yeah, we're counting down to WrestleMania this Sunday.
Where's that taking place?
That's a good question. I think Tampa? I want to say Tampa. I think it's down there. It's somewhere in Florida. I want to say Tampa.
Hmm.
I could be wrong.
Was it?
Last year it was in Jerry World.
Jerry World, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. And 2004, the NHL approved the sale of the Atlanta Thrashers from Time Warner, which eventually led to them going to Winnipeg. Hey, great. That worked out great. Hmm. All right. That's this day in sports history. Now, people don't realize the harsh evaluation that officials get. I think people think that they're off the hook and, the league's all happy with blown calls and things like that. That's not true. And this is only coming up because of the John Higgins thing, which we were just talking about. I mean, you think the league gets all like, hey, great. But that call helped Ohio State win. That was a good day for us. I mean, do you really think that that's what happens? I mean, really? I know there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there. But doesn't mean they're all false, but John was talking to me about Bigfoot the other day. Sean has evidence.
WrestleMania is going to be in Orlando. I was close.
Outdoors or in?
Outdoors.
Oh. Wow. So like the Citrus Bowl?
I believe so. They're actually already building the set. They say it's... they're building it's like a roller coaster as part of the set. It's going to be like a main centerpiece of the set. I guess they want to give tribute to like Busch Gardens and Disney World down that way.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, isn't the Citrus Bowl now called like Camping World Stadium?
I believe you're right.
I did the last game ever in there that was on grass, or better yet, mud.
Oh, the Penn State LSU game.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. They were showing, looked like waterfalls going down the steps.
I got there early and never left. I mean, that field was coming up in chunks. I remember watching warm-up. In a warm-up, it's coming up in chunks. Jack and I are looking at each other like, what the heck is this? And a guy from the Citrus Bowl, which at that point is called the Capital One Bowl, comes up and says, you know, we're going to be putting in field turf. And I said, well, you did it one game too late. He didn't really appreciate that that much.
Yes, we'll be at Camping World Stadium. Correct. Actually, the second time it'll be at that venue. Last time it was there was back in 2008.
What do you think about ESPN covering that stuff now? What do you think, Sean?
Well, we talked about that, I remember, last year, and it actually spurred a phone call from one of your former students, Todd Phillips, calling up, who still with WWE and working with the NXT brand of WWE. And, I mean, the ESPN's going for a younger demographic. They have lots of channels. They have lots of outlets and platforms, and I believe they actually even have their own exclusive like an ESPN WWE Twitter page. And of course, Jonathan Coachman, he had a, you know, carved his niche in entertainment by, you know, being a member of the WWE roster for several years before going to SportsCenter.
I'm not quite on board with it.
I haven't been dialed in too much.
In SportsCenter?
Yeah, this week I haven't really been dialed in too much to ESPN. I know last year they really did a lot of ramp-up coverage leading up to WrestleMania, so I haven't really seen too much of ESPN this week to see if the coverage is just as big compared to last year, counting down to WrestleMania.
I'm saying if I'm in the newsroom and we're doing the sports news of the day. Now, I realize that these sports centers are an hour. I believe because of the NIT last night, Van Pelt was 90 minutes. So I realize I have the time to do this. So I'm sure time enters into this. But if I'm in the newsroom making, quote, news judgments, I don't make that judgment.
I do remember about this time last year, and they would cross-promote it on Monday Night Raw on USA. They would say, hey, coming up tomorrow night on the 9 p.m. Eastern Sports Center, Jonathan Coachman will interview, you know, one week would be John Cena, or another week would be Brock Lesnar, or another week could be, you know, Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter. So, I think they started doing that a couple of weeks to a month prior to last year's WrestleMania to help build up their coverage and build up the event, obviously.
But those are also great personalities that are crossover personalities. I mean, Cena's a movie actor. I would think there's interest in him overall.
They had a very popular character on WWE. His name was Daniel Bryan, but he dealt with a lot of injuries and concussions and had to pretty much take himself out of pro wrestling altogether and kind of was, you know, his concussions, you know, forced him into retirement.
I mean, first of all, wrestling, professional wrestling, has been popular on TV for decades. Decades. In fact, when television was in its infancy, one of the more popular shows right off the bat was professional wrestling.
Oh, I was in junior high and high school. I was a big fan. I watched a lot of it. I mean, actually, I coerced my mom into taking me to my... I, I probably saw about a half a dozen or so events. Sometimes they would go to Williamsport. Sometimes they would be in Lock Haven. The first one I saw was the old Bishop Newman High School gym. I want to say it was either in eighth or ninth grade, and Polish Power Ivan Putski was the headliner that night.
Well, I can guarantee you that my mother didn't take me to any of that stuff. She was always on Kevin and me all the time. What are you watching that for?
She was a trooper.
She did not want us watching the Three Stooges. She did not want us watching professional wrestling. We did anyway because we're bad kids.
Yeah, that was the time of Polish Power, Ivan Putski, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Big John Stud.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, as an entertainment form, it's been an entertainment art form since the 40s. I mean, my grandmother, who passed away at the age of 102, in fact, it was in 2009, it was actually the day of the Notre Dame game in the NIT semifinals at the Garden. Right. My grandmother loved Gorgeous George, who was one of the early stars of professional wrestling. Right? Because that was it. It was entertainment. And Bruno Sammartino, and these are great, great athletes. To do what they do. Once they actually get in the ring, beyond the soap opera part of it. Okay, beyond the soap opera part of it. When they actually get out there and wrestle, I mean, what they do is remarkable. It's remarkable. All this stuff off the top rope and the flips and all that other stuff. How at times some of it's choreographed, and the injuries that happen. They get plenty of injuries along the way because what they do is difficult. I respect all of that, but they're the first ones to tell you that it's entertainment. So that's why, let's go back to the SportsCenter part. Is it news? And that's a difficult question to answer. Is it news? If they're going to be, let's see, Camping World Stadium seats, 66,000? You probably put seats on the field, I would guess, right? There's probably stage and then the staging and everything like that probably cuts out some seats. But you're going to get at minimum 60,000 to 70,000 fans. And, and Tom Phillips, he listens to our show. That's why he called in last time. He listens. And he does a great job on the air for them. Not a good job. He does a great job. He's really good at his job.
Yeah, he does the play-by-play on the NXT brand of WWE. And actually, they're going to be doing their event the night before WrestleMania. They're going to have their own special NXT event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so it does. And so the athleticism is, to me, unquestioned. The popularity of it, to me, is unquestioned. But my question is it news? Now, if there's 70,000 people there, plus a strong pay-per-view, does it still qualify as news, as sports news of the day? That part, in terms of the sports center part, I don't know. In terms of what shows do, for example, if First Take wants to talk about it, if PTI wants to talk about it, not sports reporters, but the one that's on every single day, they want to talk about it, fine. I mean, there's one that...
Outside the Lines?
No, not Outside the Lines. That would be... No, that's... I'm not thinking of that one. I'm thinking about the one where it's on right before PTI. I mean, I don't watch any of these shows. I mean, I don't.
Around the Horn.
Around the Horn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Around the Horn. They want to talk about it. Great. And then there's the one that's on... she's now the host of the NBA. And she's on with, Wiley and somebody
else. Michelle Beadle, Sports Nation.
Now, if they want to talk about it, great, so be it. I mean, those are entertainment shows, entertainment opinion shows. To me, isn't SportsCenter even, to be honest with you, I stopped watching SportsCenter. I mean, I don't really... But that's just me. But then again, I'm old. But to me, isn't there a... Isn't there supposed to be a news component to it where it qualifies? Now, when you get 60, 70,000 people at an arena, is that news? But, like, are the results news? Because I'm sure most people feel that the results are known ahead of time. I don't mean by the fans. I mean by the participants. I don't know. I mean, it's entertainment using sports as the entertainment vehicle. But it's still entertainment in the same way that a movie or a TV show is entertainment. There are moments, extremely few and far between, where this is an entertainment show. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. One of the real characters and great guys in Penn State football lore, Sammy Stellatella, who was on the 1959 Liberty Bowl team, passed away on Sunday. Great guy, always made me laugh, but he passed away on Sunday. He was on that 59 Liberty Bowl team and was forever a character around here every time you're around him. And I mean that affectionately and with respect. No disrespect meant there at all. Sammy Stellatella. You cross paths with him, you probably had yourself a pretty good laugh at some point. Oh, we probably passed that along to you along the way. Sean has been vehemently defending his WWE. In fact, I think with this big WWE party over your place, isn't it? No.
No plans for this one.
Why not? Come on, man. Suit was all excited to go. Let's go.
Now, I could see Suit and Suit Light, you know, having a little... have a little pay-per-view party at their place to get, you know, for WrestleMania 33. That I could see.
I'll tell you, it's amazing what that thing draws. And I would like to know how much money they get from the pay-per-view. Just out of curiosity. Because, I mean, like I said, in terms of pure entertainment, there's a lot of people that love this thing. I mean, they're into it. They love it. They love the male soap opera part, the whole deal. I mean, you know, whatever. They, you know, nobody takes it seriously. But they have fun with it.
I will admit I did this last year during WrestleMania. I logged on to Periscope just to see if I could find people in the stands holding their phones all night long and Periscoping the whole WrestleMania card. And I found like two or three people in the stands doing that, but they were like nosebleed seats. So it's not like you got a real close-up look at the ring. And the only reason why I did that was because I found out about Periscope when people were, you know, in the boxing match for Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. People were Periscoping that championship bout. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I wonder how many people are going to do that for WrestleMania. But found a few in the stands did that. But I remember there was a lot of backlash from people the day after WrestleMania that Wi-Fi was terrible and people were arriving late after the card started, and it was pretty much a mess.
Oh.
Logistical issues.
Wow. Wow. Okay, Audrey Snyder, DKSports.com. Next half hour, we'll talk about Penn State football. Today they hit the one-third mark of spring practice. This is practice 5 today out of 15. There'll also be a media availability with it as well. We'll talk to Audrey Snyder about what she's looking for out of today's practice and media availability in the next half hour. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, had a great time last night. Spent about an hour with the LB Water people. It was a lot of fun.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.